Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone! It's caught! Touchdown! Oh, my heavens!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's caught for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood, Tuesday, November 27th. Let's cock-a-doodle-do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds, the Spittin' Statistician. And as always, I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasia, the King, Scott Engel. All right, so Scotty and I, we saw a very interesting Monday night football game last night as the Houston Texans get their 8th win in a row. They go to 8-3. They beat the Tennessee Titans 34-17. It is so much ridiculousness that the Texans won 8 in a row after starting 0-3. It's gotten Scott so flustered that he's going to be joining us in a couple of minutes. He's like, oh my goodness, my Super Bowl pick is actually 8-3 and in line to still potentially get a bye in the AFC playoffs. So maybe his Super Bowl pick is actually doing it. We have my man El Rey de Fantasia, the King, Scott Engel, back here now. Scotty, I was saying your original Super Bowl pick after starting 0-3 is now 8 in a row, 8-3, very much alive in the AFC playoff picture. And apparently Lamar Miller does not suck because he can reel off 97-yard touchdown runs whenever he damn well pleases.
Yeah, good morning, my friend. And Lamar Miller sticking it to the fantasy executive on national TV. They played real crisp game offensively. The running game really set up everything else and just gave them terrific offensive balance. You saw the best of Lamar Miller last night. You saw the best of Deshaun Watson. It's interesting because nothing. I always talk about how everything is never decided on a Thursday night. Well, you can't assume anything on a Monday either. You might have looked at your opponent, and then if you're ahead by a certain amount, you say, "Oh, I'm ahead by 12 or ahead by 13, and he's got Lamar Miller. I think I'm going to win," and then look what happens. So you can't assume anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Lamar Miller does have a nice day on the ground, 162 yards and the touchdown. Obviously we like that. Gets one catch as well. And you mentioned Deshaun Watson, you know, he gets only 210 yards passing, gets the two touchdowns, runs for a touchdown with 70 yards on the ground and spreads it around. Okay, D-Hop gets 5 for 74, but Demaryius Thomas with two touchdowns. Let me ask you something about this. It was clear, you know, they were trying to work him into the offense a little more. Only four catches, but the two touchdowns. Does this bode well? We're starting to see what Amari Cooper is doing in Dallas. Does this bode well for Golden Tate to eventually actually perform there for the Philadelphia Eagles?
I think you got to take every situation differently. You know, these three guys have all changed teams, but just because one does bad, it doesn't mean the other do good, et cetera. You know, with Amari Cooper, you know, we've seen a tremendous yardage game. We've seen that before, but although he looks like he's going to be more reliable than he was in Oakland because he's got a better quarterback than he did in Oakland, and he's not the number one offensive threat like he was there either. You know, having Ezekiel Elliott take some focus off of him. With Demaryius Thomas, look, he did score twice last night, but you know, you didn't see a lot in terms of yardage and catches. And if he's going to be touchdown dependent, that's not reliable. So, Golden Tate is it's just different. He hasn't fit yet. He hasn't meshed yet. And all you can do with Golden Tate right now is you just leave him on your fantasy bench until you see him have a good game. That's all you can do right now. There's no guarantees because every situation is different. One situation of Amari Cooper, the guy can fit in really well. He's a smooth part of the offense no matter what fantasy numbers he puts up. With Golden Tate, it's just different. You know, one has situation really has nothing to do with the other.
Okay, fair enough. And then let's talk to me about these Tennessee Titans, Scott. I mean, they fall to 5-6, which, to be quite honest, is still right there in the AFC playoffs. They are only one game behind the 6-5 teams, you know, the Colts and I believe one other maybe that's 6-5 still there in the AFC. Oh, the Ravens, right, still right there in the AFC playoffs. So they still have a shot. And listen, Marcus Mariota, I mean, had a good game. He goes 22 of 23, channeling his inner Philip Rivers, only one incompletion, 300 yards passing. You do not say 300 yards passing about Marcus Mariota much, okay? And then he also runs for 28 yards. This is probably one of Mariota's better fantasy games of the season. I'll double-check that. But still, they don't look dynamic, Scott. They score only 17 points. You know, they have the big touchdown catch to Jonnu Smith early, the big touchdown catch to Corey Davis a little bit later in the third quarter. Outside of that, and I know you count it all, but outside of that, they really didn't move the ball much or really pose any threat to this Texans defense, Scott.
I thought Mariota played a good game, all things considered. He was getting pressured a lot. You know, he was getting hit a lot. He was getting sacked a lot. But, you know, he stepped up. He tried to make plays, but there are a lot of times where guys just were not open, you know, and that hurts. And they don't have a consistent running game either, but they kind of got scripted out of that too. You know, there were a few things here. You know, the defense didn't play well. That put Mariota in catch-up mode. He got sacked. Guys don't get open. So it's not any one thing. It's a combination of factors. Yeah, Corey Davis had the big play, and he had a good game. But Jonnu Smith, it's like anybody really could have scored on that because it was just such a defensive breakdown. And it's like nobody covered him. It's just like I couldn't believe it. It's not like he raced away from the defense on that. I couldn't believe it. It's like it looked like a miscommunication or something like that, like just a total breakdown on the back end of the defense there. They couldn't get a running game established whatsoever. Deion Lewis is very, very inconsistent. Outside of Corey Davis, there's nobody to count on in the passing game. People are going to run out to pick up Jonnu Smith this weekend. Look, you know, in terms of tight end production, he's about as good as anybody or outside the top three or four right now, but he's going to be inconsistent just like anybody else. And I'm talking about that, you know, in the scope of the Titans. You know, I don't think they can count on him consistently to make plays. So, you know, I think there's a lack of playmakers on the offense. I think the defense didn't play well last night. You know, 21st against fantasy wide receivers coming in, and you saw why. I think they're overrated as a pass defense. Everything came down to it's just a combination of factors. You know, football's a team game, and you know they have too many things breaking down. You know, Mariota can't carry the team. A quarterback cannot carry a team by himself. You know, I always say it, a quarterback sometimes gets too much of the credit, and the quarterback gets sometimes too much of the blame. To me, you know, this one wasn't on Mariota last night.
Yeah, I mean, this is only the fourth time this year that Mariota has two touchdowns in a game. He did put forth one of his better fantasy efforts, but let's play it. Let's try to spin this forward a little bit, Scotty, as I look at the Tennessee Titans, who I mentioned are still, listen, they're still alive in the AFC playoffs, especially if you look at their schedule. They're 5-6 right now, but Scotty, their next three games are all against teams that I think they could kind of beat that are kind of unraveling. They are now at home against the Jets next week. You got to assume that they can win that one. Then they are at home against Jacksonville, and we'll talk about how Jacksonville is completely unraveling in a couple of minutes. Then they go to the New York Giants, who by that time may be starting Kyle Kyle Laletta. So, Scotty, I mean, their next three games, let me put it this way. I think the Titans will be favored in their next three games from 5-6. They can still wind up 8-6 in the blink of an eye, Scotty, but that's like their real team's outlook. Talk to me about fantasy. We know what Mariota is, what he is not. You talk about Corey Davis. He had the big 48-yard touchdown catch. I don't know if we can rely on him. And then you mentioned guys like Jonnu Smith. We'll talk about where he fits into the waiver wire conversation in a little while. And I want to ask you about Deion Lewis. Listen, only 8 rushing yards, but in PPR format, Scott, if he's going to catch 7 balls out of the backfield, that offers some kind of floor that may be appealing to fantasy owners.
It is, but, you know, you see 20, there's nothing rushing. The yardage wasn't much. You know, he's an okay flex, but, you know, we were just talking in scope of, you know, the Titans offense, you know, not for the fantasy numbers necessarily.
Right.
It's like he didn't threaten the defense enough last night. I don't think you can assume anything, you know, in their next three games. You know, the Titans are a very, very inconsistent team. You know, they lost to Miami. They got blown away by Buffalo. You know, I don't think we can assume this team can beat anybody. For fantasy purposes, I think you know, there's a little bit of a danger, though, with Deion Lewis. You know, we've seen some single-point games from him. So I don't know if I can assume there's a floor from him necessarily. You look at his recent game logs, there has been, I think, you know, in the last 5 weeks, there's been like 2 single-point games. So I don't think we can assume anything from him. Corey Davis is very, very inconsistent. He's a high-end fantasy wide receiver 4. I can't quite rank him as a number 3 right now going forward. I don't believe so. You're not going to start Mariota because he's inconsistent. You know, that there's nobody on the Titans that you could depend on from a fantasy perspective at an important time of year. Deion Lewis is probably your best bet, but, you know, he doesn't have a guaranteed floor either, I don't believe.
Fair enough. You talk about you can't necessarily trust them in the next couple of games. Scotty, the lines are out for week 13. The Tennessee Titans at home against the New York Jets. If you don't like them, you need to hop on this number. They are 9-point favorites, Scott, already against the New York Jets for this week at home. It sounds like you don't have enough faith in the Titans. Would you like the Jets plus 9 points against them next week?
I think I would take the Jets, but I'd avoid this game. I really would. You never know with the Jets how they're going to play in any given week. I think that's historic. I think you know that as a Jet fan. But you can't trust the Titans real life or fantasy-wise. Two, 3 weeks ago, you're talking about, oh, they're going to give Mariota an extension. You know, they were 5-4, et cetera, and all of a sudden, you know, they dropped 2 key games. You know, this team doesn't deserve to make the playoffs right now because they had to win against Indianapolis. They had to win against Houston. If you don't win these games that you have to win, you're not a playoff team. You know, it's some fans will say, oh, fans of losing teams always have things like, oh, we were 9 points away from making the playoffs, or if this happened or if that happened.
Right.
It didn't. You're not making the playoffs. You're not a playoff team. The Tennessee Titans are not a playoff team right now.
Well, they were last year, even in their kind of nondescript ways, you know. No, absolutely, Scott. That wasn't said back to argue you necessarily. But at the same time.
I'm sorry, reaction.
At the same time, here's my question for you before we kind of put the book or close the book on week 12. This year, you know, we're seeing promising rookies, right? Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Rosen, Darnold, right? We have a lot of faith in 3 of these second-year quarterbacks, right? There are 3 second-year quarterbacks where the arrow is definitely pointing up. I'm talking Deshaun Watson. I'm talking Patty Mahomes. I'm talking Mitchell Trubisky. The year before that, you know, we're seeing what people like Goff and Wentz are able to do, you know? So I refer back now to the draft class that was headlined by Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. There are fifth-year options coming up on both of these guys. You were talking about contract extensions before, Scotty. Marcus Mariota and Jared Goff, it seems like the new guard of rookie quarterbacks. It seems like every other year recently, you know, the Wentz and Goff year, we see how they have gone. Trubisky and Mahomes and, you know, Watson, those teams, feel like they have their quarterback. You know, this year, all the five teams that took rookies feel like they have their quarterback. Do the Tennessee Titans and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have their quarterbacks? Were these guys legit 1-2 overall picks? Were they busts? Should they get extensions? Because I kind of see Mariota and Winston sort of in the same boat. I mean, Mariota has no off-the-field concerns that we know of, but just their play on the field and what they can do, are they the leaders of franchises that they were drafted to be, Scott?
I think Mariota is more than Winston. You know, although the team has been disappointing, like you said, they did make the playoffs last year. They won a game. You have to remember that quarterback is such a hard position to really, you know, gain a quality starter in the NFL. If the Titans don't want Mariota, I think there are a lot of teams that certainly will, because he's played really well at times. You know, other times he's been mediocre, other times he's been hurt. I don't think Mariota's been all bad overall. And yeah, I think he's still a work in progress. And like we saw last night, you know, we've seen a few times this season, he can play quality football. So I think they do have their guy, but they have to surround him with more dynamic playmakers, not just Corey Davis, who's still a work in progress himself. So I think the Titans may have something in there. I think the Buccaneers, you know, might move on though, because, you know, Jameis Winston's been very erratic. You know, he's made a ton of turnovers, which Mariota hasn't. The team hasn't come close to a playoff berth. And I think, you know, maybe they might be moving on there. But you know, sometimes fans of certain teams complain, you know, when their quarterback doesn't play perfectly and they blame him too much. You know, try to look at what's out there. And, you know, I'll just go back to, like, you know, the Seattle fan base and the Giants fan base. You know, people complain too much about Russell Wilson when he doesn't play perfectly. You know, I say to him, you know, do you think there's anything better in free agency or the draft? I doubt it. You know, Giant fans complain about Eli Manning. The guy's won two Super Bowls. You know, you can't give that back. You know, I love Jim Day, but he said he'd rather have Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers, you know, doesn't have two Super Bowl MVPs. You know, Eli was a big part of those two Super Bowl wins. So you have to remember, overall in the scope of things, quarterback is such a hard position to get the ideal guy at.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you talk about, not with Seattle, not only that they found their guy in Russell Wilson, but because they got their guy, you know, at a low draft round and they could save money on him, what it does for the team as they built their team. And when you talk about nailing your first round quarterback like Eli Manning, Big Ben, whatever, what it can mean for your franchise. However, potentially in the boat of Mariota, potentially in the boat of Winston, and definitely in the boat of another team, when you spend a top five pick on a quarterback and you get it wrong, it could force your team back for years. And unfortunately, one team that resides in Florida, I think, has finally admitted that that is the case. We talk about the unraveling of the Jacksonville Jaguars and other news and notes. Listen, major people sent to IR yesterday. We're going to talk about it when we come back. Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only place to go for 24/7 fantasy sports advice. Once you download the FNTSY Sports Radio app, you'll get the most accurate experts and most entertaining programming in the fantasy sports world. Listen to great shows like Fantasy Football Frenzy.
There you go right there, Goon Squad.
Game Time Decisions.
Good teams win, great teams cover.
Fantasy Freestyle.
You know what it is.
And plenty more.
Boo!
Download the FNTSY Sports Radio app on your iPhone and Android devices now and take the best fantasy sports talk wherever life leads you.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Angle, telling you what you need to know for Monday Night Football. We're going to start to spin it forward now for Week 13. And Scott, for many people, this is do or die week, okay? We've gone through 12 weeks. Most league formats have 13 weeks of the regular season. Some play a little bit longer. We acknowledge, and we'll give you everything you need going into week 14 as well. But for many people, Scott, this is the, you know, kind of the playoff week where matchups are decided, where, you know, people kind of make their hay or not. I, in the league that we are competing in together, you look like you are likely going to be a division champion standing at 9-3. We like that, Scotty. I am you know, likely, although not definitively, in the playoffs at 7-5 in the GST league that we played together. Scotty, I see you got a game lead and you got about 150 points on second place in your division. So it looks like the defending champion, the King, will win his division yet again and get a first round bye, huh?
Well, you know, nothing's locked, but, you know, and I'm also
well, Jimbo Slice would have
a few
to beat
points.
You by
a few points off the pace for most points in the league as well. So, you know, it's been a good year, but there's still a lot of work to be done. It sounds political, but it's you know, I'm not going to. I don't assume anything with a week to go.
We don't need to assume anything with a week to go. However, you do have a 150 some odd point lead on the guy who would have to win and have you lose, and he would have to outscore you by 150 points. So,
all right, I don't have to call it.
You don't have to call it, but I will call it for you. Congratulations on winning that division over again. Although you're the one who talks about how you don't like divisions. If this were all big one division, you would be out of contention for first place overall, as there is a team that is 11-1. Shout out to Yua Gerleman as well. But all right, enough about that.
That would be fair. That would be fair.
Let's talk about.
But I would still have a first round bye, I think.
That would not be decided.
Possibly.
No.
Possibly.
If it was all one division, you and our guy, Mike Blee, in a mere 35 minutes would be in a flat-footed tie, in essence, for the other bye, and he would actually have you.
Yeah, I play what's laid in front of me, even though I don't prefer divisions.
Yep, you have made that point clear, and a good season for you. Hopefully I'll get into the playoffs as well. It'd be great if you, me, and Blewett, the brain trust of mornings here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, made up 50% of the playoffs in that prestigious league. But I digress. Scotty, we were talking about, is Mariota the guy? Is Winston the guy for their teams that drafted them in the top five years gone by? That's the same thing that happened with the Jacksonville Jaguars drafting Blake Bortles, number three, I believe it was, overall. And yesterday, it looks like the Jaguars had their coming-to-Jesus moment, Scott. At first, they fire offensive coordinator Nate Hackett. And I was like, oh, really? That's the reason? They're going to put this on the offensive coordinator? Are you kidding me? When they have Leonard Fournette actually squaring up to fight people, where they have Blake Bortles as their quarterback, well, they have decided to bench Blake Bortles as well, and then discipline came down from the NFL. Leonard Fournette will be suspended one game for the fisticuffs with Lawson there in Buffalo last week. I have been saying this, Scott. I said this organization and Tom Coughlin did this organization a disservice by, in this offseason, not going out and getting an Alex Smith, not getting a Tyrod Taylor, not getting a Teddy Bridgewater. If they had a serviceable quarterback, Scotty, right now, literally, put in a Teddy Bridgewater, put in a Tyrod Taylor who doesn't turn the ball over, this team would, you know, be able to ride their defense a little bit more, but it's completely unraveling, Scott, firing their OC, benching Blake. You know, maybe they shouldn't have talked so much in GQ in the offseason.
Well, the defense hasn't played up to expectations either.
Right.
And, you know, with the way that Tyrod played in Cleveland, I'm not sure he would have been the answer either. But again, you know, it goes back to my point, you know, the quarterback is not a very good it's a very hard position to get an ideal guy at. You know, I think Alex Smith certainly would have been a better answer than anything. You know, would have been a nice fit. But look, there's not a lot out there. You know, this team might have to trade up in the draft, or, you know, maybe if Jameis Winston doesn't stay in Tampa Bay, they take a crack on him. But, you know, I think it's over for Bortles. And when you look at a guy like Bortles, you know, if the coordinator can't figure out how to scope the offense so that there's not a lot of pressure on him and the ball can still move, you know, then he's going to lose his job. So I understand all of it. But the Fournette thing, we were talking about it yesterday. I said, I don't know what's going to happen. No, in my mind, I was thinking maybe a game suspension, but you never know with the league, like we said. And, you know, now very likely you're going to be with Leonard Fournette again. You know, it's injuries, suspension. It's been a very disappointing year fantasy-wise for Leonard Fournette owners.
Yeah, absolutely. Some people spent their first-round pick on Big Leonard, were expecting a breakout. And, you know, Scotty, when you say maybe Terod, the way he was playing, wouldn't have done it, I think the problem, though, Scott, I think the original sin there was that the organization decided that they did not need to address it. Let's say they did address it and traded, you know, a third-round pick, whatever it was, for Terod, and he didn't work out. At least you can say that they tried something. What they did was they went into it thinking that Blake Bortles was in essence good enough because he had two good games at the end of last year, or he had a good game stat-wise against the New England Patriots, you know, and ran for a touchdown in one game. Maybe Terod wouldn't have worked. Maybe Alex Smith would have been better. But the organization thought they were good going into this season, what everyone thought was a Super Bowl caliber defense, a run game that traveled, and they were like, nah, we're good. We'll ride with Blake. I think that was the issue. Whatever they did to address it, it may not have worked, but they chose to do nothing when there were options out there. Let me spin it forward for you. I got one name for you that I think could be a very intriguing fit for what this team wants to do moving forward. No, I'm not talking about Eli Manning. I understand that he is done, but I have another name for you, and I'm being completely honest, Scotty. I'm not trying to be silly or anything like that. I'm being honest here. Here's my name. Are you ready? Starting at quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Maybe they draft a kid and all, right? But starting for quarterback next year at the Jacksonville Jaguars, I give to you Joe Flacco.
I could see that. You know, there's a guy that, you know, maybe with a change of scenery, you know, could still be stable there. You know, Lamar Jackson is the guy. They move to the future, et cetera. You know, especially if they continue to win ball games, I think that's a good call.
This is a professional quarterback who's a veteran who for his entire career, Scott, has played quarterback with a team and an organization that wants to win by defense and running the ball. He knows. I mean, I know it's now kind of like a dirty word in this league to be called a game manager, but that's what Flacco has done his entire career. Is he dynamic anymore? Absolutely not. But if put in the context where he does have a strong defense, he does have Leonard Fournette where he can turn and hand the ball to, and the organization, whether it's Marone and Coughlin, whoever it is, kind of like trust him to be like a good caretaker, I think they could have something there, and I think that would they would bounce back. Flacco knows all these AFC opponents as well. What do you think?
I think it's a good call for all the reasons that you laid out. Again, quarterback is very hard to get an ideal starter. At least they would possibly stabilize the position, to let him manage the game, etc.
He's at least someone who
not make mistakes.
Yep.
Not make mistakes. You know, no one to get rid of the ball.
Exactly, and he's someone also that the defense and the other side of the ball in that locker room can't just make fun of and talk smack at. You know, Jalen Ramsey can't be like, ha ha ha, we don't even let Blake practice against us. You know, they know that they would have an actual professional there on the other, leading the other side of the team. That's my nomination. Remember it when it comes to March of next year. Joe Flacco will be on this merry-go-round, and I think that the Jacksonville Jaguars would be a nice little landing spot. Remember, everybody, before they retire, they go to Florida anyway. Scotty,
still speaks to the state of quarterback, though, because it
True.
Makes a nice fit. And it's not really, you know, that exciting of an acquisition.
You're right.
You know, there's no upside with Joe Flacco in real life.
Listen, this merry-go-round this year, we know the names, right? It's going to be Flacco. It's going to be Terod. It's going to be Teddy Bridgewater. It's going to be Jameis Winston, right? It's going to be people like that on the kind of retread merry-go-round. There may be a surprise or two that get in there, you know, that you didn't think about. And then there's going to be these rookies. So we'll see. But I have another question for you as it relates to quarterback, Scotty. Are the Cincinnati Bengals set at quarterback? They put the red rifle, Andy Dalton, on IR with that thumb injury, okay? It's going to be Driscoll the rest of the season. I'm telling you, Scott, this is a big problem, especially, like, I fade everybody now in Cincinnati. If you were a Tyler Boyd owner, you got to fade him. And unfortunately, this now to me, I was kind of teasing this last week. But Scotty, the Cincinnati Bengals lost to go to 5-6. They now lose Andy Dalton for the rest of the season. My question for you, Less than or greater than 50% chance that we see A.J. Green back on the field for the Bengals this season. In this situation, Scotty, why not just shut him down?
I think it's a little too early to go in that direction. We don't know how he's healing. The team is not mathematically out of the playoff race, so it's still too early to tell. If he's able to play this week, I think they have to have him go because they're not out of it mathematically.
All right, so then let me ask you this, though. With Andy Dalton, he kind of, to me, is better than the Ryan Tannehill kind of group here, the Marcus Mariota group maybe. But is he yet another example of a team that maybe, like, doesn't know if they have their quarterback and kind of has their franchise stuck in purgatory?
I don't think he's any better than the Mariota.
Okay, so then,
you know, sort of. You know, I might, if I'm starting a team, I might take Mariota over him. You know, Tannehill, you know, maybe he's about even with him, maybe a little bit better. Maybe he's more in that Winston kind of group.
Right.
He's completely erratic. You know, the guy will have a big, you'll see Ryan Tannehill have a big game occasionally. You'll see it a little more frequently with Dalton. But, you know, the guy is completely erratic. It hasn't been his entire career. He and his coach have never won a single playoff game. But for the Cincinnati Bengals, what's better that's out there?
I don't know, but here's the thing. Let's say, you know, there's a lot of people reporting now that Marvin Lewis's seat is getting pretty hot. You know what I mean? They even brought in Hugh Jackson as the quote-unquote special assistant. You know, we know how that organization works. I could see a universe, Scotty, where let's say there's, you know, some sort of regime change in Cincinnati. Could you also see Andy Dalton enter this quarterback merry-go-round, and let's say, you know, there's a new young gun head coach there that's like, you know what? I'm the guy. I can fix Jameis Winston. And, like, Jameis is all of a sudden the starting quarterback in Cincinnati next year. This merry-go-round is going to be very interesting. I think you're right that there's not, like, amazing options out there, right? Winston, Bridgewater, Tyrod, Flacco.
Bridgewater's not going to be out there.
Okay, you think the Saints will hold on to him, fine. But, yeah, like, this merry-go-round is not, you know, inspiring, but, you know, you never know. For one of them, maybe it is just a change of scenery thing, like a Winston to Cincinnati. But my question is really, what do you think is the future of Cincinnati at the quarterback and the coach position?
I think the coach is – we always think he should be on the hot seat.
Right.
But then he always survives. As to Andy Dalton, how is getting Jameis Winston be any better? I think maybe they stick with – you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen at quarterback there. You know, if they have a new regime, you know, do they want to blow it up and you know, get rid of Andy Dalton? You know, do you see Andy Dalton in Jacksonville or something like that? It's too difficult to predict what's going to happen at quarterback.
Yeah. So here's what I will say. This merry-go-round is going to happen. If you are out of it, let's say, in a dynasty league, take a flyer on some of these guys, you know, Scott. How do you feel about that? Like, if you're out of the playoffs but you're in a dynasty league, I would start picking up all these guys. I would start picking up Tyrod Taylor, Andy Dalton, and see maybe if the merry-go-round hits and they're in a better situation next year, you got yourself a starting quarterback.
I think in a lot of dynasty leagues, Tyrod Taylor should be available, but you know, some of these guys are certainly not going to be available.
All right, fair enough. Real quick, I want to bang some other guys off you that just went to IR as well. Unfortunately, Andy Dalton was not the only one. Marvin Jones to IR with that knee injury. A Galladay season continues, Scotty. Jack Doyle to IR because of a kidney issue. He had to have some kind of procedure. Right after the game, Eric Ebron, in my opinion, goes right back to a top five quarterback. And also Jeff Heirman, who some people were using because of the wasteland of tight end. You know, he was getting targets and stuff. He had rib and lung issues. He's been sent to IR as well. What do you think about these three guys? Great opportunity now for Galladay and Ebron.
What's your opinion on it?
On which one?
All
I think
all
Eric Ebron. Sure, I think Eric Ebron becomes a top five tight end again like he was. You know, Andrew Luck is hot as hell. I would take Kelce. I would take Ertz over Ebron. That may be about it. I can understand if you want Kittle. I can understand if you want Gronk. But that's about it. Eric Ebron is a locked and loaded top five tight end to me with the way Andrew Luck is playing. And same with Galladay. Listen, I'm not a top five guy, but I think Galladay is a wide receiver too, and a strong one at that, with Marvin Jones gone. You know, Golden Tate's already gone. You know, it's going to be Galladay and Riddick in the passing game to me, especially. And then hopefully Kerryon Johnson comes back. And Heuerman, to me, was kind of like a nice little story. He was on that streaming radar for a couple of weeks. Listen, I've got guys in my main home league. The second place team had Evan Engram and O.J. Howard, wound up getting Heuerman, and now is banged up and has nowhere really left to turn. But Heuerman was a nice story, but hey, you got to keep on moving on. That's the way I feel about him.
Yeah, I felt like Heuerman had it. Potential, you know, to move into that fantasy top 10. But now it's just not going to happen. And I don't know who steps up there, although it might be interesting because Case Keenum does like to throw to the tight end. I think when Mo Alie-Cox gets healthy again, you know, he may get some opportunities in Indianapolis. And I think it is what it is in Detroit. I think you laid it out pretty good. I was just curious to see whether you're going to mention Mo Alie-Cox or not.
No, I mean, listen. Sure, you know, with maybe
I think they like him.
Tight end, and they have been using the tight end. They do like him. You know, without T.Y. Hilton, you know, do they really trust the guys like Chester Rogers and such? So, I mean, I think there's a role for him, but I don't know that he's fantasy viable, in my opinion. When we come back, Scotty, on Roto Experts in the Morning, we look at the waiver wire. There is one name activated from the PUP list yesterday that I think is very intriguing and unfortunately can hurt my guy, the stereotype. I tell you who and what when we come back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Back, Roto Experts in the Morning, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Spit Statistician and the King holding you down today. We're going to look at these waiver wires because, listen, maybe you lost some people, okay? Maybe, you know, maybe you lost a Melvin Gordon. Maybe you lost a Marlon Mack. Maybe you lost a, I mean, if you were relying on Andy Dalton or Blake Bortles, then maybe you're not a playoff team necessarily. But maybe in a super flex or in a two-quarterback league, you were relying on these kind of guys. You may have, you know, you may have messed around and lost Jack Doyle or someone else as well. So let's look at this. Scotty, on the quarterback side of things, I made the point yesterday on the show, Scott, that, I think Josh Allen is viable. That rushing floor, everyone loves the rushing floor from Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen has shown to run the ball as well. I mean, would you take a flyer on a guy like Josh Allen? Let's say you were really, really stuck, Scott. You know, maybe you had a Andy Dalton, you had a Ryan Fitzpatrick, you had a Blake Bortles, something like that, and you need to replace them. Would you take Josh Allen, or would you prefer one of these next man up like Driscoll or Kessler?
In a two-quarterback league?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Obviously, if it's a one-quarterback league, none of these guys are people you're going to war with in Week 13. So let's assume a context where these are viable, like a two-quarterback or superflex league where pretty much every quarterback is rosterable.
Yeah, I think it's hard to envision Josh Allen being out there in a lot of leagues because people will roster at least one and maybe two, and sometimes I've seen it three backups. You know, the guy has downfield throwing ability. He's got rushing ability. If he's out there, you definitely scoop him up. But I have to imagine he's rostered in a lot of two quarterback and super flex leagues.
Okay, well, let's help the fan that is in this situation, though, Scotty. There are, I mean, it's not a great boat to be in, but there are people who just, let's say, lost Andy Dalton as their QB2 or lost Blake Bortles as their QB2. Where do they turn, Scotty?
There's really not a lot of spots to turn.
Kessler,
you know,
there's what I was
Jeff
saying.
Driscoll and Kessler. You know, it's and which one out of the two? At least Kessler has a little bit more starting experience.
All right. So hopefully you're not in dire straits heading into Week 13 at the quarterback position. Let's talk about the running back position. Scotty, at the other side of the break there, I teased that there is a guy, a running back, who just rejoined their team, and may be active in Week 13 that I think is fantasy viable. I really do, especially because the team he is on. Do you know the running back I'm talking about, Scotty?
Naheem Hines?
No, just activated off the PUP list, and I believe could be fantasy viable right away, Scotty.
Oh, Rex Burkhead.
Rex Burkhead for the New England Patriots. He is 19% owned. And here's my thing, Scotty, you know the way I feel about this. You know I've been hyping the stereotype probably earlier than most people, to be quite honest. And one of the things that I think was so good about the stereotype and about the Patriots offense there is that it kind of allowed their, you know, five-year-long running back by committee to get into more definitive roles. Everyone said it wasn't going to happen, but that's what I thought the stereotype offered for these Patriots, that they had finally a regular early down back and can use James White as a kind of regular PPR two-minute passing down back, and that seems to have bode well for the Patriots. The question is, does Rex Burkhead upset that rotation?
I think it has the potential to. Because Sony Michel's gotten hurt a lot, and you know, maybe they'll scale his workload back a little bit. And it could also cut into James White as well, because you know they don't want to overwork the guy. You know, he's been a tremendous workload the whole year, even not having to run the ball when Michel is out. You know, maybe they want to conserve him a little bit for the playoffs. So it gives him a chance to maybe also give defenses three different looks. So I think Burkhead's a real threat to what's going on here.
So here's my question, though, because I think you said, you know, it could play out two different ways that would scare me at two different levels, right? There's one where you say he's worked into kind of the committee to save the workload of both Michelle and White. There's another point, a universe here, where he is just a straight-up backup to both of them. You know what I mean? And it's kind of the handcuff. How do you treat this? If you're like, we talk about handcuffs, right? We talk about you got to get Austin Eckler, you got to get Malcolm Brown, you got to get Rod Smith, that sort of thing. If you are a Sony Michelle owner, if you are a James White owner, do you need to go get Rex Burkhead this week?
I think you have to, because he would become the handcuff in either situation.
To both of them, right?
If Michelle got injured again, Burkhead could get a lot of carries. And if White were to go down, I think he could get a lot of catches because of his versatility. You know, they like him a lot. He's versatile.
They do. They do. They like him a lot, definitely. So the question is, how much does he eat into the opportunity of the stereotype and James White, both of whom we considered kind of RB2s, or high-end RB2s even, at one point in the season. Other places at running back, Scotty, I mean, Austin Eckler is 70% owned. 30% of leagues, almost a third of leagues, Scott, right now. You can go out and get Austin Eckler.
Yeah, I think in 25% of leagues, he'll probably come off the waiver wire this week.
Yeah, you would have to assume that.
Yeah.
So definitely, that's the first place I would go, right? He's worth a check. My question is, we talk about all these handcuffs and stuff. You know, Eckler's 70%. Josh Jackson, the deep sleeper, only 1%. Would you give him a look there for the Chargers?
Justin Jackson, I think.
Justin Jackson.
You know, in a lot of cases, you know, you may not have room to fit him on the roster. And, you know, we don't know how long Gordon is out. If we learn that Gordon is out like 3 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks, then I think you have to. Other than that, I think only if you have the room. I just wouldn't cut anybody that's valuable to you to get a hold of him.
All right, let me give you three other backs that are right there around 50%. I think I know the way you're going to rank them. I'm asking you, going to ask you about Josh Adams, Gus Edwards, and Doug Martin, all around 50%, Scott. I think, if I know you, you would preference them Adams number one, Gus number two, Doug Martin number three. Is that right?
Yeah, and here's the thing, though. You give me 50% ownership, but there are a lot of teams that are out of it now. And teams that are making the playoffs or making a push have already scooped up, you know, the top two of these guys in Adams and Edwards. You know, right now, you know, you got to look at the scope of it. We're talking about waivers here. You got to scale back your ownership percentage and say, oh, wow, he's still throwing 50% of leagues. You know, there's 40% of
a lot of teams dead teams.
Maybe out of it right now. Yeah. So you know, maybe they're available in just 5 or 10% of leagues are – or to teams that are competitive right now. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's nothing really in a lot of competitive leagues that they're difference makers on the waiver wire where you're going to start guys that you pick up off the way. You get Justin Jackson this week. You're not going to start him. You know, there's a lot of situations here where if you go to the waiver wire, you're not going to find anything you can use for the playoffs. So it's really about now, if you made it or you're about to get there, you know who you're counting on. You don't want to pull these guys off of the waiver wire and into your lineup at this point of the year. So, again, you know, we stress, if you haven't done it yet, you want to get the NFL backups to your top running backs. You want to get those Rod Smiths, those Wayne Gallmans, the Spencer Wares, so you don't have to run to the waiver wire. Now, that's unique to the running back position because a guy can immediately step into an opportunity and be productive. You don't see that at quarterback and wide receiver. You know, it's different. If the guy goes from the number two to the number one, like we've seen in Cincinnati, he's either rostered or we don't know if he can step forward. So, you know, the waiver wire right now is very, very thin. You know, especially if you're a team that's made it, if you're like 10-2, you're like, who am I going to pull off the waiver wire and start?
Right. You probably don't need to if you are a playoff team. I submit one other person who, listen, Scotty, I picked this guy up last week. He had a huge game, and I was surprised. I didn't start him, but I was surprised to see him still only 15% owned. I know there's complications because he may not be the starter. Do you know who I'm talking about? A running back who had a huge game last week, Scotty, and is still 15% owned. That I think can actually make a difference in a very short term if you need it for this week. I know, take a second to think.
Huge game?
He had a huge game last week. 15% owned, had a huge game, over 20 fantasy points last week.
It's not Eckler,
no,
right?
I'm talking about our guy, LGBT rights, LeGarrette Blount, Scotty. What do you do if you are, say, listen, I'm a Kerryon Johnson owner, so I ran, but LeGarrette Blount is only 15% owned. If, Scotty, we don't know about Kerryon Johnson. Kerryon Johnson may miss week 13, and if you need a win to get into the
inside
playoffs,
injury said he could miss another 3 to 5 weeks from this
there
point.
You go. So if you just lost, let's say, Marlon Mack, you can get LeGarrette Blount is a starting running back potentially this week. He had 2 touchdowns and 20-plus fantasy points. He's only 15% owned, Scotty. If you need a win, I know when Kerryon Johnson comes back, he takes the starting job, but you know, the touchdown potential is huge with LeGarrette Blount. I think if you lost Marlon Mack, I'd go see if LeGarrette Blount was available.
Yeah, it's an excellent call. You know, there's one guy maybe off the waiver wire that can help you make a difference here. So I would put a significant bid for him in if you have Fab, because that's one guy that can come in and make a difference. For him to do what he did against the Chicago Bears was so impressive. Everybody writes off LeGarrette Blount every single year that he's done, and LeGarrette Blount keeps coming back and proving it. You know, they gave him the ball. Some running backs can make the most of every touch, and you don't have to continually feed them. It's obviously LeGarrette Blount's a rhythm back, and a rhythm back is, you know, what scouts and NFL people talk about as a guy you need to feed a lot so he gets comfortable, he gets into a rhythm, and then he starts producing. And we obviously saw that with LeGarrette Blount last week. You know, you can't say anything negative about the guy when he rushes for 88 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Bears.
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, if you lost Marlon Mack, if you lost Melvin Gordon last week, okay? There are still two guys out there that may be of value. You got to give a check to Austin Eckler, although he is probably owned. But if not, LeGarrette Blount could be a short-term fix for a starting running back. Don't forget about the guys Josh Adams, Gus Edwards as well.
Hey, Naheem Hines might be out there too. And, you know, Marlon Mack might not play this week. But that's a lesson to what I'm talking about, though. If you had Marlon Mack, you should have handcuffed Naheem Hines.
Absolutely. At the wide receiver position, Scotty, let me ask, the guy I like the most, he's just around 50% owned. And people, remember, forget about the teams coming off a bye. Scotty, I'm talking about Josh Reynolds. I think Josh Reynolds could be viable. He's only 51% owned. I see Josh Reynolds. Scotty, I love DJ Moore. I'm telling you about how the Carolina Panthers are going more to Moore and more of these shake and bake guys. He's 65%. I see Kiki QT at 63%. Adam Humphries at 30% with DeSean Jackson going to visit a hand specialist. What do you think about those guys? Are those the guys you might look for? Would anybody top Josh Reynolds or DJ Moore for you?
I think in a lot of leagues like QT, you know, guys like QT and Reynolds, they're already gone. You know, again, okay. You know, going back to what we said about the running backs, you know, anybody for 50 to 65% owned, I'm not saying that they won't be available, but in most leagues, they won't be available. Most competitive leagues, you know, there are, yeah, they're, with the only one off that list, I think people still don't believe in Adam Humphries, and that's the one guy you got to get.
Okay, and talk to me. What do we know about DeSean Jackson, right? Isn't he, like, has some kind of hand injury or something? If DeSean Jackson misses time, you know, you got Evans there, you got Godwin's there. Humphries steps right in, right?
I don't think it matters whether he's healthy or not.
Okay.
Jameis Winston doesn't look from nearly as much as Ryan Fitzpatrick does.
Okay, fair enough. So Adam Humphries is a name. You could check for Reynolds as well, DJ Moore, but we think those guys may be already owned. At the tight end position, listen, we've been talking about how tight end is such a wasteland. I will say right now, Scotty, Cameron Brait is 65% owned, so give him a check. But outside of that, I mean, Gerald Everett, Chris Herndon, Jonnu Smith, the guy from last night who scored a touchdown, is 20% owned. Where are you looking on the tight end waiver wire? Let's say you lost O.J. Howard or Jack Doyle recently.
I think you got to look at that. You got to look at Herndon. It's like people still don't believe in him, and he had another 13 PPR points, which is really nice for a tight end. Jonnu Smith, people are going to be reactionary to what we saw last night. And I think, you know, depending if Mo Alie-Cox can come back, you know, I think he's going to get some red zone looks.
Interesting. So how would you say it again? Would you, so outside of Brait, you would rank Herndon number one?
Yeah, I can't imagine, again, you know, you talk about 65% owned. It's going to be hard to grab Brait, you know, especially with the state of tight end. I think people race to the waiver wire to get him because every fantasy article in the industry probably led with Cameron Brait last week when they were talking about waivers. So I think it's a surprise if he's out there, and it's a pleasant surprise. I'm not saying he isn't, but I won't assume he's out there in a lot of leagues. So I'm going to go Herndon and then Smith and Alie-Cox.
All right, fair enough. There you go. Brait did, in fact, get a touchdown with Jameis Winston last week as the Buccaneers got a win to go to 4-7 last week. Okay, that's most of it, Scotty. I got to tell you this, though, man. You know, we talk about how all season long, you know, kind of like what happens early in the season, you're never going to know. A team can be, like, undefeated and stuff like that and still fall a little bit. Our guy, Mike Blewett. At one point, Scotty, our guy Mike Blewett was literally number one in first place in the Scotty Fishbowl League out of 900 teams. Okay? He was in first place. Do you know who his three wide receivers are in that league?
Who?
A.J. Green, Cooper Kupp, and Marvin Jones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, you know, you never can tell. And we talk about Scotty all the time. You got to get those backups, right? But at the same time, depth is kind of important too. Like, I'm on a team where after week 11, you know, when I was 10-1, you know, I don't have to play again until week 15. And I'm just hoping that people stay healthy. We do have Mike Blewett with us. Hey, Mike, I was just telling Scott, one of your teams, I believe, your wide receivers were Cooper Kupp, A.J. Green, and Marvin Jones. Like, how do you plan for something? How do you play?
That's the right combo. The right combo, the wrong league is the only thing I'll say. I wish it was Scott Fishbowl because there's no money on the line.
The league
where it's happening is the one I'm in with both of you. That's my Grand Street Tavern League where I was way in front. And
right. You are
like Scott and
undefeated.
I even talked about it on Sunday. I was rolling along, and he's like, well, you got to stay prepared. I'm like, Scott, I can't be prepared for all three guys going down. I mean, do you guys, either of you guys expect A.J. Green to be back?
I don't. Scott thinks he's going to play next week because the Bengals are still,
I didn't say
quote,
that.
Unquote, involved. No?
No. I didn't say I expect him to play period. Next week. I'm saying yeah. I'm saying we don't know. You know, if he's available, they can't shut him down. But, you know, when you ask a kind of question like that, we just don't know. We don't know how he's going to heal. We thought he was going to play early last week. We thought he was going to play this past week. We don't know. We can't tell how a guy's going to heal.
It would be a little weird for a 5-6 team to shut it down, but organizationally, you just shut down your QB.
They shut down
you
the
know
QB, right?
Going south.
Yep.
Why would you? He's your top asset on the entire team.
We'll talk about it more on the other side of this, where it's going to be FST. Scotty, you have a great day. We'll see what happens in those waiver wires,
Scotty.
And I'll talk to you all about it tomorrow, Scotty. This is Roto Experts in the Morning. Blewett and I continue the conversation on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Up next.
Does your fantasy team suck? Maybe you need us, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the only free 24/7 fantasy sports radio network.